Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
My name is Danelle Rydell, and I am the VP Member Success at Infra. I've been at Infra going on 9 years now. So Infra, in a lot of ways, has changed and stayed the same over the years. We've held close to our roots, and I would say that's where we've stayed the same. But we've also changed in that we've really grown and we've expanded our reach in the independent natural food retailer world. We created a new vision and we're aspiring to reach that vision every year and diversifying our membership and our offerings to our members and the natural industry community. So I knew the natural food industry was right for me very early on. I come from a farming family. My grandparents were small farmers. My great uncle was a farmer and a fisherman. And it's really, I would say, in my DNA, anything that I can do that helps support getting natural and organic food into the mouths of folks around the world, I'm happy to jump in and help. So the future for the independent retailer, I think, is really bright. We are the beacon in our communities across the country, and we're leaning into creating a natural and organic access to communities across the country. We're getting closer to the source, I would say, both for consumers and for those that are producing our food and creating a better supply chain and a better world. I think we all learned a lot during the pandemic, and what I've seen independents realize is that they're stronger together. And I believe that is a big reason why Infra has grown the way that it has grown.
Hey, folks, and welcome to the Buyer's Desk and Infra podcast. I am Chris Sorensen, your host for today's episode. And September is Organic Month. And today we're digging into one of the most important topics in our industry, organic integrity. In a time when shoppers are more conscious about their food choices, it's important for us to clearly communicate what organic really means. It's critical that we go beyond the label and talk about how to protect, strengthen, and evolve organic from the ground up, literally. And there's no one more rooted in this conversation than the team at the Rodale Institute. Since 1947, they've been stewards of organic and now proponents of regenerative organic, combining cutting-edge science, farmer training, and public education to build a food system that works for people, animals, and the planet. And today, we are joined by Jeff Katch, CEO of the Rodale Institute. Jeff's leadership is helping shaping the future of farming, certification, and consumer trust. And he's here to share what organic integrity really looks like and why we cannot afford to lose sight of it. Well, Jeff, that's quite the intro. How are you doing today?
Chris, it's really an honor to be here today. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, likewise. We're excited to have you on the Buyer's Desk. What better month to really dig in and talk about the work of Rodale, right?
Yeah, agreed.
So I think before we dive into the work of the Rodale Institute, I'd love for you to start by sharing a little bit about yourself, like what led you to this work, and maybe how your own health journey shaped your connection to the mission of organic agriculture.
Chris, I've been following the question around Rodale for my entire life. I actually had a lot of health problems. Growing up as a young boy, some of my earliest memories were in a doctor's office. I had chronic health challenges that started around the age of 4. And somewhere around the age of 13, I asked my mom to start buying me some books and magazines that would inform how I can get healthier. And she ended up feeding me with various Rodale publications and various books. And so throughout my early teenage years, I started digesting that content and I began to make major changes to my diet and to my lifestyle. And the subjects within Rodale publications had a major and a profound influence on my life. Funny enough, though, I didn't know that they were Rodale products at the time. So I was more interested in the brands themselves rather than the mission behind the brands. And so it wasn't until my early 20s that I made the connection that this mission and this company called Rodale was literally in the town that I was born and raised in. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I ended up going to work for the Rodale Publishing Company right after I graduated college. And I have been on this journey my entire adult life. I worked for the media company from about 2001 until 2016 in various roles. At certain points, I was serving as the publisher of Organic Gardening Magazine, and then I was in charge of Prevention Magazine, which was the flagship brand of the company, started by our founder, J.I. Rodale. And then I slowly got more and more involved in the nonprofit, the Rodale Institute. I began volunteering, and on my days off from the work at the publishing company, I would literally go out and like pull weeds on the farm at the Rodale Institute, just as a way of getting to know the mission and getting to know the people. And through that, over the course of several years, I got invited to volunteer on the board of directors. And a year and a half into my service on the board, I actually resigned from the board and took a position on the staff. And so I've been working at Rodale for 8 years. And 2 years ago, I became the CEO.
Wow. I just thinking about that story as a 13-year-old kid reading stuff from Rodale, I could imagine you'd never expect yourself to become the CEO of the Rodale Institute. Like, what a journey.
It's been a journey beyond my wildest imagination, but it's been a good journey, and I'm honored and grateful for this opportunity.
Yeah, and to have such a history with the Rodale Institute. So you, as a kid, I could imagine you like reading the works of J.I. Rodale, you know, where he coined, you know, what we know as the modern term work organic, knowing that Rodale has been called the birthplace of the organic movement. For those who may only know the name or may have experienced, you know, an event or something like that, can you walk us through maybe how the Institute defines organic and organic integrity and how that shows up in the work across research, training, and advocacy?
Yes. Yeah. So the Rodale Institute was largely instrumental in helping to form the National Organic Program in 1990. We've been doing long-term science comparing organic and conventional agricultural systems for over 45 years. And so leaders at the Rodale Institute literally helped shape modern day policy around the organic definition. So the NOP is the organization within the USDA that governs organic certification. And Rodale science helped to shape that. You know, the work of Rodale helped to inform the definition of organic, which is farming without the use of synthetic pesticides, herbicides, and other harmful chemicals. But we also helped the USDA understand that biodiversity, soil health, animal welfare, there's other aspects of the organic definition that Rodale helped to shape over many, many years.
That is so awesome. So I also want to dig into a little bit just like the research and training that you guys do. Can you tell people a little bit about what goes on at the Rodale Institute and how you guys take that research and that science that you guys do and connect that to the people doing the work?
Yes. So in many ways, Rodale Institute functions like an independent land grant university. So for those of you that are unaware what a land grant is, that was a education system established under the Marshall Act in 1864 by Abraham Lincoln. Its intention was that every state in the nation would have a university in that state dedicated to science and education for farmers. The idea was that we were going to serve our farmers, which was the largest industry in our nation at that time and still is today. Agriculture is our biggest industry. However, over the last 50 to 70 years, through the influence of the chemical industry, the chemical agrochemical industry, those land grants have been largely funded and co-opted to help farmers move in a direction towards chemical agriculture. So that entire system is really undergirded by endowments and funding that are building a system that is based on those theories that our farming systems depend on chemical inputs. Farmers in around the nation that are increasingly looking for solutions to transition their operation to organic have nowhere to go but Rodale. And so Rodale has really stepped in to fill that void. And so we're kind of like a national independent university. And we do the same three things that a land grant does. We do long-term science, and that science is studying biological methods that help farmers to move away from chemical-dependent farming towards biological approaches. And we do science across all disciplines of farming, anything from grain to hemp to vegetables to perennial systems, agroforestry, livestock. You know, we're really doing science around every major agricultural discipline. We then have a team of consultants. In the land grant system, those are called extension agents. We call them consultants, but they're Rodale employees. And their job, there's 30 of them, and they go out across the United States all day, every day, and they take our science out into the field. And they're literally holding the hands of farmers and food producers and helping them to embrace organic transition. And then the third leg of the stool is our education. So Rodale is widely regarded as having one of the leading organic farmer training programs in the nation. So we have students from all over the world that come and spend 9 months. It's a 9-month cohort. We provide them with housing. We provide them with a stipend. And they literally learn the business of farming from the ground up. So it's everything from infield training to business planning to finance to accounting. We're giving them a full suite of skills. And so it's three things. We train farmers, we do long-term science, and then we also work with farmers out in their field and help them successfully adopt organic agriculture.
That's awesome. And I think if I'm not wrong, right, on your website, you actually have stuff that consumers and retailers can do for training. Like you guys have webinars and education on your website as well.
Absolutely, Chris. Yeah. So our education goes well beyond farmer training. Under the leadership of Renee Barron, who's at Rodale's Dean of Education, we actually have a significant vision for where we want to go with education over the next 5 years. But one of the key focal points is to not only build farmers, but we need to build the entire workforce for the organic industry. So we're getting further into things like training in inspectors and compliance officers and all of the other regulatory and quality control that goes into an organic industry. Rodale wants to train those people, train that workforce. We're doing that through university partnerships. So we're actually partnering with non-land grant universities such as Kansas Wesleyan, Kutztown University, Northampton Community College, and many other forthcoming universities are partnering with Rodale so that we can help them create accredited learning curriculums to build a workforce for the organic industry. And then lastly, we really believe that consumer education is most needed. If we're going to change our food system, we need to pull. We need a pull strategy, and consumers need to be part of that. They have to be demanding better products from farmers and from retailers and from food companies. And so we have some exciting educational initiatives on the horizon, which I look forward to sharing more about.
Cool. Yeah, I think us at Infra and in our membership, just coming out of the Infra annual conference, you know, it's something where they're looking for those kind of resources too, because people come to our communities for that level of education. So I see a good partnership with us, Jeff, in the future.
Well, I will just take this moment to say that I am a huge fan of Infra and for all the retailers within your network. You know, Rodale Institute really believes our model of our theory of change is that every consumer has a responsibility to play in changing our food system. So I always say that the first priority is every single consumer in the United States should get to know a farmer. Why is that a weird, you know, recommendation? In some ways, people might hear that and think that's odd. What do you mean, know a farmer? Well, I believe, you know, 100 years ago, more than 95% of the population was at some level involved in our nation's agricultural system. So we knew our farmers, we knew people in our community that produced our food. And it was a regional food system that really sustained us and enabled us to grow and into a healthy, you know, community or society. And over the last 100 years, we've become more and more divorced or separated from our food system. And now less than 1% of our population actually knows somebody who grows or produces food in their community. So I really believe that it's important that we have a relationship with our farmers. Secondly, I think we need to regionalize our food system. And I think that we need consumers engaging and spending, and frankly, spending in retailers like the Infra Network. My favorite retailer is Kimberton Whole Foods. They're here in our community. I think that is a model grocery store for the future. From getting to know their founder, Terry Brett, who's a good friend of mine and the Rodale Institute, you know, Terry has built his own distribution. He's regionalized his food system. He prides himself in keeping a majority of their annual revenues in the community. So he's sourcing from farms within the county. He's spotlighting food brands that are made in Pennsylvania and produced in Pennsylvania. And I think that that's a model. And I think Infra really believes in that model. And that's why, you know, Rodale's a big proponent of your network.
Yeah, that's awesome. Terry and his team have done amazing work. And I think there are a lot of Infra members that aren't quite there yet in some of the areas and look to Terry as a model and inspiration to work towards too. But a lot of our members are doing that with local and really focusing on their communities. One thing, Jeff, I want to jump into, because we talk a lot about organic, but I know that the Rodale Institute has been fundamental in creating regenerative organic agriculture and the regenerative organic certification, the ROC certification. So with all the work that you're doing with organic and communicating why organic is important, we're now teaching people about regenerative organic. Why do you think it was necessary to create this new standard? And how do you see us being able to communicate that without like muddying organic?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with the second question first. We are not at all muddying or devaluing organic. Rodale actually believes that the ROC certification builds on the USDA organic. So we're raising the bar for the food industry. This certification was literally built at Rodale's headquarters in Pennsylvania 8 years ago when we assembled leading minds from our food industry and leading brands like Patagonia and Dr. Bronner's. And we all, this collection of minds came together to build a higher bar. You know, the USDA organic certification really hasn't been innovated over the last 20 years to the level Rodale thought that it needed to. So the ROC certification says that in order to achieve your regenerative organic certification, you first must meet the USDA NOP standard. And then the ROC certification is saying, how are we building on soil health? How are we building higher standards around animal welfare? And what about the human capital, the people that work in our farming systems? So soil, animal welfare, human well-being, those are the three pillars of ROC that build on the NOP. So it's a higher bar. And the regenerative organic certification has been very successful. Over 22 million acres have been certified over the last 5 to 6 years. There are now, I think, over 2,000 brands that have achieved that that certification, or 2,000 products rather, that have achieved that certification. And it is really the most innovative thing happening in our food system, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think, you know, as we talk about it as retailers as well, we even talk about how do we highlight that on shelf? You know, when we talk about like our merchandising strategies, how do we help call that out? Because ultimately we bear a responsibility as well then to communicate to the consumer why this is important and that it is like what you just said, building on organic and what the difference is. Because I've even seen, you know, people say like, well, aren't these all the same? And I think you and I know they are not the same. But how do you get a consumer to do that? So I think the work that you guys are also doing on consumer education is going to help us on as retailers be able to communicate that out.
Yeah, there's a lot of misunderstanding around the word regenerative right now, frankly.
Without the word organic, right?
That's right. And it's leading to a lot of consumer confusion. And I'm trying to say this with as much humility as possible, but Rodale Institute and our founder's son, Robert Rodale, so J.I. Rodale's son, Robert Rodale, coined the term regenerative agriculture. It was in the mid-1980s, he was studying agricultural systems around the world, and a lot of people were using the word sustainable farming, and Bob Rodale felt that that was an inadequate word to define. He believed that when we started farming in harmony with nature and focusing our efforts on the health of the soil, that the soil would regenerate, the crops would get healthier as a result of the healthier soil, the people consuming that food would get healthier, and therefore entire communities would get healthier and healthier. And so he saw, his vision was around, wait, when we focus our efforts on the health of the soil, there's a regenerative component that the entire community will benefit from. So that's when he coined the term regenerative. And today, 58 of the world's top 100 food companies purport to have a regenerative agriculture strategy. When you talk about the words regenerative agriculture in and of themselves, they mean everything and nothing. There's not a definition around the word regenerative. There's certainly not a standard. And so therefore, there's unfortunately and sadly a lot of greenwashing that multinational food companies are doing with that word. So that's why we need to encourage consumers to vote with their dollar and to look for brands that are certifying to the ROC standard. And that's when you know that you're getting a more premium product.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point because there, you know, although there's a lot of public trust in organic, there's also the growing concern around, you know, other things like hydroponics or concentrated animal feeding operations, CAFOs, being certified organic, right? So I can start to see why you're saying that we need to build upon USDA with the ROC certification. So it appears to me that ROC is one way to preserve the original intent, right, of organic. How else are you seeing Rodale and the work that you're doing be able to push back on kind of these maybe erosion or perceived erosions of standards of organic?
The answer to that is we're going to work with those companies. So we actually have, we are now getting called upon by some of the biggest food companies in the world to help those food companies build organic and regenerative organic supply chains. So one example is that we have a great relationship with General Mills. And General Mills has hired Rodale to directly work with farmers in their supply chain, particularly in the upper Midwest. We have Rodale employees that are experts in organic and regenerative organic agriculture that are literally on 75 to 80 General Mills farms every day, helping those farmers to transition their operations in this direction. And so we're helping to build supply chains by providing technical assistance and agronomic support directly to farmers in their supply chain. So it's not just General Mills. There's many other corporations that are hiring Rodale to help them in that direction. So we're for any food company that wants to take steps. And listen, we understand, Chris, that it's a continuum, right? So from conventional agriculture to regenerative to regenerative organic, we're trying to move farmers down that continuum by taking steps.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that there's a lot of people wanting perfection out of everything all the time. And to, you know, perfection is also like something that we try to work towards. You may never attain it. But I think to hear you talk about too, the spectrum of, you know, trying to move people in a better direction, it's always about improvement.
No, actually, I would add to that, that the spirit of the ROC certification is continuous improvement. That's the spirit of it. So I don't know if you know this or not, but there's actually three levels to the certification. There's a bronze, a silver, and a gold. And those are steps that farmers can take towards greater levels of regeneration. And it's not like a farmer arrives and says, oh, my farm's regenerative organic. It's like, no, nature constantly unfolds. And therefore, as farmers, we need to unfold with it and to improve with it. So that is the spirit of the certification, is continuous improvement.
Okay. No, I love that. So how would a consumer or retailer know when a brand is ROC certified, where they're at on that continuum?
I think it's explicit in the certification itself. So when you look at the logo on whatever that product is, it should designate, I believe it designates what level that brand is certifying to. There's a great product directory on the ROC website. So if you go to regenorganic.org, you're going to see a list of all the brands and all the products that have achieved the standard. And you can shop by category and you can shop by level of certification, I believe.
Awesome. I didn't know that. So that's great. I knew about the levels. I just didn't know that there was the resource like that. So I'm sure retailers listening right now are hopping on and checking that website right now. So that's the one thing, Jeff, I did want to talk to, like, with retailers. You know, we've talked about, you know, Terry and some of the work that he's doing. And I think about us as the independent retailers, we play a pretty big role in helping to maintain that organic integrity, like you said, through education or even like demanding the brands that we work with, like not letting them on our shelves unless they meet this standard. It seems like you have some pretty good resources too, but how do you see retailers as being able to better educate the shoppers? You know, it sounds like you might even have some resources now to help vet brands, which you just mentioned. But how can we really use our shelf space as that tool for advocacy?
Oh, that's, awesome of you to ask that. I think to the degree that use your shelf space to educate consumers on the importance of any certification, specifically organic and regenerative organic. But right now there's a lot of mistrust, as you know, that, you know, consumers have a hard time trusting brands and they're very attuned, especially the next generation is very attuned to greenwashing. And I think the key point that Infra can help with is to help consumers to understand that organic and regenerative organic, these are voluntary regulations. These are farmers saying, I want you to come onto my farm, inspector, and regulate me. I want you to look under the hood of my car and tell the consumer that what I'm doing is what I say I'm doing. Like, that's a massive step in a moment that we're in where there's a lot of deregulation within our industries. And by the way, organic is not a political platform. It's actually a very bipartisan conversation. We work with all farmers, and there's many farmers probably that represent both sides of the aisle that are dyed-in-the-wool passionate about the work that they're doing on their farms. And so organic is probably the great uniter of our food system, as well as ROC. These are voluntary regulations, and basically it makes a farmer allow a third-party auditor to come onto their farm, and verify that what they say they're doing, what they say they're selling to the food company, is truly what is on the label. So that's the key point of education that needs to be made, is that consumers can trust this. You know, is it perfect? No, but it's probably the closest thing we have to perfect in our food industry. Have there been a few rare instances of fraudulent grain, for example, coming in from other countries that were mislabeled? Yeah, there's one or two instances out of a massive $100 billion industry, and we caught it. And the Organic Trade Association is working with the USDA to strengthen enforcement of organic integrity. And there's a lot of steps that have been taken. So organic is something that consumers can trust. If that was the one point I got across today, that's the main point.
Yeah, and that really is, we need that, because although you said there's, what, 1% of us who actually know our farmers or know a farmer or someone who's doing food, how else do we get that information? You know, if it's not from a farmer, it's got to be from someone who's doing that work behind it. So I guess what I heard from you is, yeah, you know, kind of trust the work that's being done behind the scene is on these certifications is rigorous, and also get to know a farmer.
Yep. The third thing I would say is we need consumers to value food, right? You know, so in 1960, for every $2 of our nation's GDP that we spent on food, we spent $1 on healthcare in 1960. So 2 to 1, $2 on food, $1 to healthcare. Today, those numbers are more than flipped. For every $4 we spend on healthcare, we as a society spend $1 on food. And so as a nation, we have completely devalued food in our family household's budget. We spend money on many other things, but we don't spend money as a society on the right things, in my opinion. And I think that as consumers, we need to reprioritize. And, you know, the sad reality is that consumers are spending a lot of money at the doctor's office. You know, our chronic disease epidemic is at an all-time high. I personally believe, to the core of my being, that our society needs to reorient our priorities and spend our money at retailers like Infra, because that's an investment in our health. That's an investment in our family. That's an investment in our planet. That's an investment in our community. So there's massive ramifications for consumers to reorient how and where they spend their money. And I think it has to be on food.
Couldn't have been said better. So Jeff, I love what we've been able to cover today in a short 25 minutes here or so. There's a lot that gives me hope when it comes to organic, but I want to know, looking ahead, what gives you hope for the future of organic, and what do you think needs to happen next? Maybe that's from policy, industry, consumer pressure, like you talked about, to really protect and elevate this movement.
Yeah. What gives me hope, Chris, is what I like to characterize by saying is that the farm is here. We're living at an unprecedented time where people are returning to the farm like never before in recent history. During the spring of 2020, the National Gardening Association reported that 22 million new gardens were planted in the United States, more than any other time since the World War II Victory Garden era. And so we saw this massive reconnection of our society to the land, to our backyards, and ultimately to farms. I think there's growing interest from young people in agriculture. And I think the kind of agriculture that our next generation is going to get involved in is regenerative organic. I see so many young, bright students come to Rodale. These are first-generation farmers, mostly. Many of them come from affluent or highly educated households, often from suburban environments. And they're saying, Mom and Dad, I don't want to be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, an accountant. Not that there's anything wrong with those careers, but they're saying, Mom and Dad, I want to be involved in the greatest hope of our time, which is farming. And I want to go train to be a farmer at Rodale. And like when I meet these students, that's what gives me hope, that they're coming back to the farm. The farm is here. They're returning to that idea. And I think our society is really finding peace on farms. I think our world longs for what is real. You know, in an era of social media and misinformation, we long for what is real. And no one can argue that a farm isn't real. People are deeply, you know, they're left deeply face to face with nature. And it's powerful. And I'm very hopeful that people are going to continue to return to the farm.
I love that. Yeah. What were the words you said? The greatest hope for our future is the farm.
Yeah.
I just love that. Because yeah, when you get the chance to visit a farm, which I've visited a handful of them, but one of the biggest things I took away from my first farm tour too was just seeing the stuff growing in the farm, getting my hands in the soil and being able to take some of that produce back away home was just really transformational for me early in my natural foods career. It just really was full circle for me. And it does. I think if you get the chance to know a farmer, but even visit a farm, you can feel that connection, and that doesn't leave you. So thanks, Jeff, so much. I really appreciate this conversation today, talking about the Rodale Institute, giving us some hope that the farms, people are flocking back to the farms. That's such a great thing to hear. And that you guys are seeing that at the Institute as well. So any last parting thoughts before we close up for today?
I would like to imagine a world where we are saturated with more grocery retailers like those in your network. I think, part of, this concept of people wanting what is real, unfortunately, there's been, a lot of well-intentioned, grocery retailers that have tried to bring real products grown by farmers to the shelves. And sadly, those are just getting overtaken by technology and algorithms. And, I think what I love about going into an info retailer like Kimbergen Whole Foods is that it feels real and it's personal. And, the staff in stores like that are so well educated. And I feel like it's a true experience. Like,